The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is real estate investing in a seller's market. But before we get started, just a couple of quick updates, one of which is I would love if you guys would go to iTunes and give us a review. I know there's a lot of folks that are so kind to send me emails and let me know how the show has been helpful to them and their real estate efforts, but I would just want to say, hey, gosh, could you also send a nice review for us via iTunes? You just go into iTunes, look up Old Dog, D-A-W-G, and you can subscribe, which would be really cool because then you get the podcast right as they come out. And give us a little review. A 5-star review would be greatly appreciated because that really helps us in our iTunes ranking. It helps us to reach other folks that are out there looking for information that can help us old dogs and some of the young pups out there as well in the real estate investing ventures. So that is something I hope you guys will do. We really appreciate it. Also, just a little update. There have been those that have written that have said, hey, you know, we want to know more about how things are going with you and what you're doing. So I have a little story, a little anecdotal story for you here about our recent Airbnb experiences here. As you know, we have a 22-unit where I have 3 units currently that are active Airbnb, VRBO, and vacation rental type properties, right? We furnish these units and they have been very active, and we've been just totally blessed by getting guests in these on a regular basis. Well, we had 3 recently booked for the holiday weekend. Now I'm recording this actually right on Labor Day weekend here, and as it happened, we had a series of little mishaps that were a little challenging, but some good things came out of it. And the problem was, is all 3 people were coming in at the same time. And I used to have a co-host, don't have a co-host anymore, although I think co-hosts are very cool and they're a good way to be able to handle your out-of-state Airbnb rentals. But we have a house mom who we did a little episode on, and she's actually been stepping into that co-host role. So she has been really, really great, but we just got hit. All these guys arrived at the same time. And as it was, one guy, okay, he was in a unit that for some reason had a water leak, okay, above it, okay? This is something that only happens to me. But anyway, water was flooded. He loved the place. In fact, as soon as he moved into it, he emailed me and he said, hey, I want to extend this. These are all 30-day minimum rentals, which is really great for us because we don't have... We just wouldn't be able to handle people coming in every couple of days or every week. So we only have 30-day minimums. Well, this guy emailed me back. He said, I'm interested in booking for the next 3-4 months. And I'm going, that is very cool. So anyway, his first day in, water's coming through the ceiling, flooding the floors. Okay, this is the first co-hosting assignment of our house mom. So she is like in this place. It is a Sunday night. There is like nowhere you can find a plumber on a three-day holiday weekend to take care of this issue. She doesn't know anything about water, plumbing, or anything. She was able to get into the top unit and actually, check out. It was a kitchen sink that was leaking. And this is a vacant unit that we're rehabbing right now. And there was no reason why that should have started. There was nobody working on it in the last, week. So we were just like totally boggled. She's writing to me, texting me every 2 minutes. Oh, what am I going to do? How do we do this? And I'm, trying to direct her to our property manager, who really should be able to have maintenance people get there in a hurry. Anyway, so we're going through this. The next guy comes in. Okay. It's just a matter of hours. He's in his room, and all of our places have Wi-Fi. Well, his Wi-Fi isn't working, so we're trying to get AT&T. AT&T is on vacation. We got the Airbnb thing going on, and then we got third guy on his way. Anyway, cut a long story short, we made it. We survived this disaster, and we were able to get a property manager in to actually, he couldn't get any of his other people, so he had to come in and shut off the water valve that controlled this issue. We were to clean up the guy's place. He's happy. The other guy, we got AT&T on the line. We were able to actually get one of our alternate units that wasn't being used. He could tap into their Wi-Fi, so that worked until we could get a new modem, because apparently the modem had a problem. Anyway, some of the fun stuff of having Airbnb and in your apartments. But, the third guy, I didn't hear anything. So far, so good. Anyway, just thought I'd update you on a couple of things. But again, it was house mom to the rescue. She was able to resolve things, get everybody happy, and hopefully they're going to stay for a long time here. Okay, on to our topic here, real estate investing in a seller's market. Well, whether you're a flipper or a long-term real estate investor, you'll be more profitable in a hot appreciating market, okay? The downside is that you also have more investors beating you to the punch, right? That's why deals are hard to find, especially in late stage hot markets. It's kind of like a vicious cycle here. When decent acquisitions are tough to find, you need to work smarter. Now, a new seller's market is sweeping the country, and if you aren't prepared for it, your real estate investing business may be about to come to a sudden halt, along with your cash flow. Now, if you've heard, investors complaining as the housing, let's say back when the housing market fell in 2007, you're about to hear maybe a lot more whining as the days of cherry picking only the best properties with the hugest spreads from thousands become a thing of the past, and getting great discounts becomes a mission. Now, if the seller's market hasn't hit you yet, buckle up, because it could be on its way. So you made the important decision to become a property. Let's say you're a real estate investor now. You're new at this, or maybe you already own a few rental properties, okay? And you're starting out. Maybe you've just been crushing it, getting rental properties. You've got all kinds of cash flow going in. You're out there just trying to find, the best deals. Well, it's not as easy as it was before. I think that a lot of people are starting to realize this. Now, before you get all discouraged and decide to back out of your real estate investing efforts, first, take a look at your market. Before you decide to even sell or buy a rental property, you have to answer one very important question. Is it a buyer's market or is it a seller's market right now? And why is that important? Well, first of all, there are different stages and different strategies you employ when buying in certain types of markets, right? A buyer's market versus a seller's market. And for you to get the best results and the best deals for your investment dollar, you need to know what strategy is most effective. Don't make the same mistake that many people made by not studying the current state of the housing market. You've always got to have a pulse on the market, not only this national market, but the local markets that you're buying in. Now, you may just be buying locally, and that's much easier to monitor. But if you're like me, who has to really rely on out-of-state investing, you need to know what those local markets are doing. And to begin with, let's take a look at what is a buyer's and a seller's market. Well, a buyer's market, or sometimes referred to as a cold real estate market, is a market in which conditions favor those willing to buy a property, okay? Even without being an expert on economics, you might have guessed that it happens when more people are looking to sell their homes or rental properties than those who are looking, you know, to purchase a home or rental property. A buyer's market leaves buyers with a wide range of properties to choose from and very little competition. I mean, this is like a heyday. This is what 2008 was like. A buyer's market is especially good for first-time buyers. If you can buy a lot of properties at this time, this is ideal time to buy. It allows you to pick up the best properties at the lowest price and to leverage your real estate portfolio rather quickly. Now, there are different characteristics of a buyer's market, and that's where you'll see more properties on the market than in past periods, 6 months or more of inventory on the market, listed properties spending more time on the market, current listing prices below previous sales prices, lower overall closing percentages when people are trying to close, not as many people are closing, falling average home prices, flourishing real estate ads, trying to attract new buyers. So common real estate portals like Realtor.com, Zillow, and Trulia, okay, those are the places you want to search to see what home prices and inventories are doing. This is how you can identify a hot or cold market, just by looking at some of these major portals. For commercial and multifamily properties, you might want to look at LoopNet, CoStar. But a buyer looking for an investment property can view projected returns fairly easily just by viewing a property's sales price history. Okay, well, that was a buyer's market. Let's take a look at a seller's market. A seller's market, or a hot real estate market, is the opposite of a buyer's market. This is when conditions are favorable for those selling a property. A seller's market materializes when more people are trying to buy a property than those who are willing to sell at the moment. Of course, this must benefit the few ones who are looking forward to selling their home. In a seller's market, buyers are willing to pay asking or above asking price in order to secure the property they want. It's good for sellers as they are likely to make a quick sale at a higher than expected price. Now, some of the characteristics of a seller's market are fewer properties on the market than in past periods, 3 months or less of inventory on the market. In other words, things are not staying on MLS or LoopNet very long, listed properties spending less time on the market, current listing prices above previous sales prices, higher overall closing percentages, higher a rising average home prices, less impressive real estate ads because they're not having to sell anything because it's easy. Homes are easy to sell. But what if it's neither a buyer's market or a seller's market? And that can happen too. That's what's called a neutral market. And a neutral property market, or a balanced real estate market, is when the prevailing conditions neither favor buyers nor sellers. Generally, it means no major changes in demand, supply, and prices. The features are kind of like we talked about before, the same average number of properties in the market as in past periods, 3 to 6 month inventory on the market, listed properties spending regular time on the market, current listing prices similar to previous sales prices over past sales periods, stable average home prices, regular real estate ads, stable number of sellers and buyers. So what are we in now? Okay, and I'm just giving you kind of an overview on these various markets because it's really key that you understand how to respond, especially if you're seeking to purchase in these markets. Is it a seller's market, buyer's market, or neutral market in the U.S. right now? Now, you know, if you've listened to the show for any period of time, that I generally don't even like to refer to a U.S. market because if you're real estate investing, especially throughout the country, you recognize that there are many micro markets throughout the country where you can experience any of the three markets I just mentioned. But because I invest in these many different markets too, there are some obvious trends that I see on a national level. Now, experts right now seem to agree that the current U.S. housing market tends to favor sellers. Okay, in other words, it's a seller's market. This means that for those engaged in real estate investing, now is the right time to unload properties that maybe you were thinking of selling in the future. Now, here is why many say that it is a seller's market in the U.S. right now. Number one, property supply is low. The average market has shifted from vast oversupply to what looks like a shortage in 2018. The inventory of all homes for sale has gone down by more than 35% in the last 4 years. That's great for existing real estate investors or homeowners, as it means that their properties are in high demand at the moment. Number two, prices have been on the rise. After prices hit the bottom in 2008, they started steadily going back up. Actually, nationwide levels are forecast to reach all-time peaks as those seen during the housing bubble. So, I mean, we're pretty much at the top or near to the top in many markets right now. Some are already starting to see prices reduced here in California. We're starting to see prices coming down in some areas. Number three, job growth has been strong. Now, the economy is experiencing record employment levels right now. I mean, this is some of the lowest unemployment we've ever experienced. In addition, wages are increasing. All this means that working people will be able to afford to take loans to pay for their newly purchased properties. Number four, mortgage rates are on the rise. Combined with an improving job market, this is to be more of a factor over time. You're going to see this impacting sales as well. And number five, more millennials are starting to buy homes. Now, we've been saying millennials are not buying homes. They're renting, and they're the ones that are responsible for this boom in downtown areas where a lot of them are gravitating, but they're renting. But this, you know, being the largest generation in the U.S. for a long time, okay, once they enter the housing market, demand will be huge. Moreover, it still remains more beneficial to buy your own home instead of renting. So this puts additional upward pressure on demand. So those are five reasons why many say that it is a seller's market right now. So if these arguments and this information I'm relaying to you is causing you to explore the possibility of selling your own rental properties, make sure to perform a proper real estate market analysis before you buy or sell right now. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, we should also remember that the U.S. housing market is not a homogeneous one by any means. Different states and regions are likely to experience some major differences. So while one state or region might be a seller's market at the moment, another might just as well be a buyer's market. So how do you know which strategy to employ as a buyer? Okay, well, here are a few strategies to help you acquire properties you want to acquire in a seller's market. Okay, and that's if that's where in fact we are at, these are some of the things that you need to do to best prepare for that. What do real estate investing pros need to be doing to strengthen themselves and prepare for a seller's market? Here are five tips for that. Number one, tighten up your offer and bidding processes and systems, okay? That means that you want to be totally prepared for buying a property and buying it quickly. So your assessment, your analysis, all those things are going to have to be very quickly done and well prepared in advance. Number two, work on your negotiation skills. If you have a coach or an experienced real estate investor that you can work with, contact that person and help them to help you to learn how to negotiate well, because negotiation is key here. Number three, build your brand for more negotiating power. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense to many of you. So what do you mean my brand? I'm not a commodity here or a product, but you know, even us dealing with brokers, dealing with the real estate community and bankers and all these people, you're going to have an identity that you're going to be known as. And you're going to be known as either somebody who can close deals quickly, or you're going to be known as somebody who is just a shopper, or whatever your brand may be. You want to be able to leverage a positive brand, which would be, in many cases, you know, somebody who can close quickly, who can get a good buy property at good prices and so forth. So you want to use that in negotiating. Number four, be ready to move fast and develop relationships so that you get the first shot at deals as they become available. And I've talked about this before, that real estate investing is all about relationships. You need to have a good attorney at hand, a good CPA, a good banker, a title company, all of these key areas covered, a good broker and agent that are just ready to move quickly as you find these deals. Number five, get the best lenders and mortgage brokers on your side, as financing is going to make all the difference in who gets the max price for their homes and wins the most buyers in the frenzy that is brewing. And that's true, because you want to get a good rate. The rates are going up, but you could still snag some pretty decent rates in the next couple of years that you might not be able to even see anything near to these rates that we have now. So I'm going to give you a few more tips here on what you can do to make all of those things possible. And number one, get pre-approved or have a letter of commitment. Buying a property is a two-way transaction. As much as it may feel like it's all about you, remember that there's a lot at stake for the seller too. Getting pre-approved or having your lender verify your ability to afford a loan for a specific amount lets the seller know you're qualified and motivated, and you can move quickly. It demonstrates financial security, giving the seller confidence that the sale will go smoothly with you as the buyer. The process is different than getting pre-approval, which requires documentation and, you know, just based on estimates. Getting pre-approved is really key over getting pre-qualified. Tip number two, make sure you have top-notch real estate agent or broker on your side. You don't need an agent or a broker to buy a property. And we've talked about this before. If you can deal directly with a seller, it's so much better. But to move in these kinds of transactions, in a seller's market, they're hiring agents and brokers like crazy because they know that they can make the process go faster and smoother. But you can always deal directly with sellers as well. Just remember that. By hiring a good agent or broker, especially one with experience, it could give you a serious advantage when buying a property in a competitive market. Find an agent or broker who has a proven track record of winning offers and who hears about listings as soon as they hit the market, or better yet, before they hit the market, and you can get off-market deals. Start your research by talking to friends, family, fellow experienced investors, looking at reviews online, and even driving through your desired neighborhood to look for those sold signs with agent or broker's information attached. In a seller's market, things move quickly, and your agent and broker should be on the front lines, keeping you in the know at all times. Tip number three, buyer be nimble, buyer be quick. In a seller's market, a listing today could be a memory tomorrow. What does that mean for investors? It means you can't always wait to see that property. Try to be flexible. Make yourself available for showings as listings become available, as quickly as you can get in to see that property. After you've seen a property and you're comfortable moving forward, consider submitting an offer on the spot. Sometimes agents or brokers will begin the negotiation process on site with the buyer stationed outside. This way, the agent or broker can modify the offer if needed to expedite the process. Tip number four, place a fair bid. No one wants to pay more than necessary for an investment property, but you also don't want to risk losing the right property by submitting a lowball offer. Work with your agent or broker to determine an offer strategy. You definitely want to offer under the value or under the price listed, but if you go too far under, you could cut yourself out of the game altogether. So if you're not working with anyone yet, research comparable property sales in the area and get a better idea of what you should be paying. At the end of the day, you have to be comfortable paying what you offer. Tip number five, make your offer more attractive. There are a number of techniques to help your offer stand out among other offers. And here are just a few. Number one, if possible, consider putting down a larger deposit. It communicates to the seller that you're serious about the transaction. Number two, reduce hassle for the seller by agreeing to terms that make their transition easier. For example, let's say there's a basement full of junk that they'd rather not deal with and could delay, you know, this process. Offer to take care of it for them. Say, hey, it's all going to be thrown out. We'll take care of it. We'll get a truck. We'll get some guys. We'll clear it out. Again, trying to be beneficial to the seller. And number three, being flexible with the closing date to accommodate the seller's schedule is another way to demonstrate your interest and willingness to make the process easier for the seller. Okay, moving on here. Tip number 6, write a personal note to the seller. Many investors develop an emotional attachment to their properties. I know it's hard to imagine, but real estate investors can also become attached to places just like people living in their homes. So one thing they're, you know, they get attached to is maybe not so much the property as they are their tenants. So show them that you're both serious and emotionally invested in the sale by writing a personal letter to them. Tell them why you love the place and how you plan to take good care of their tenants. The seller may be glad to know their former property is in good hands, giving you some leverage in the situation. Tip number 7, decide what you can compromise. Everyone has an image of the perfect investment property. Although when you're searching in a hot market, it may not be as easy to find that perfect property. Do some soul searching and consider what matters most to you in a rental property. Is it the size, the style, the location? Once you've figured out your must-haves, then consider making compromises on those key important features. Stick to your criteria. Don't compromise your criteria, but you know there are a lot of areas that you can adapt in. And finally, tip number 8, exercise patience. You may encounter some stiff competition out there. Above all else, stay focused on your goal and try to be patient. The right property is out there. Don't just buy to buy. It still needs to meet your financial and market criteria. It's more important to wait for the right property than to buy the wrong one out of impatience. There are many ways in which a person can make a living when it comes to real estate investing. Anyway, that is it. In a seller's market, you have to approach your buying differently, but you have to be informed. You have to know your market well, and you have to understand what it's doing and what stage it's in, and dig in to get good information, but also be ready to move quickly. That's the name of the game. Well, that's it for today. Please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And look for the episode entitled Real Estate Investing in a Seller's Market. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.